This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Private utilities charge their customers a small monthly fee to compensate for the corporate income tax they pay. The General Assembly cut that tax in its latest session, and the fee dropped to reflect that. But the State Utilities Commission recently said companies could go back to charging at the higher rate and pocket the extra money. The decision led to a rare, strongly worded dissent from the commissioners who voted against it. John Murawski's been covering the story for the Raleigh News and Observer and joins us now to explain the details. Welcome back, John.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just said private utilities, so I guess the question is, what does that mean? And it leads to the more important question, who are we talking about here?
So we're talking about Duke Energy, Duke Energy Progress, formerly known as Progress Energy, Piedmont Natural Gas, PSNC Energy. Those are the main utilities. There's also Dominion, North Carolina Power. They have 100,000, 150,000 customers in the northeast corner of the state, so they're pretty small here. They're known as VEPCO in Virginia.
And we're talking about publicly traded companies, basically.
Yeah, these are publicly traded companies on the stock exchange that have regulated monopoly customer area service areas in North Carolina. So their rates are set by the Utilities Commission.
All right, and so how does their tax rate figure into the Utilities Commission decision on what kind of rates they should be charging?
They're basically the companies, when they go in for a rate, they present all their corporate expenses as part of the cost of generating electricity, or in the case of the natural gas utilities, as part of the cost of delivering natural gas. And so the customers pay for that. They're just the cost of delivering the service. That includes, if they have company cars for executives or country club memberships for executives, that includes all the trash cans in all the buildings, that includes all their bills, they have to paint, repair equipment, they have uniforms, all of that is paid for as the cost of generating electricity. So one of those costs is their expenses, and their expenses include environmental compliance costs, and they also include tax costs, and so we all pay for that.
All right, so the tax goes down, our bills should go down, and in fact, they did by a little bit, right?
That's right. So, well, actually, the Tax Reform Act that was adopted by the legislature actually would have resulted in our bills going up slightly. And the reason for that is that the sales tax increased and the business taxes decreased, and so, in a sense, the net effect is a slight increase for utility customers. But the issue here is there were about four taxes that were put in that are new or that were changed. And the Tax Reform Act is called the House Bill 998. That bill specifically instructed the Utilities Commission to adjust utility rates to conform to the new taxes. And it named all of the taxes but one. It did not mention the corporate income tax. So that left the question as to whether that meant the legislators did not want the Utilities Commission to adjust rates for that tax, or if the legislature simply wanted to leave it up to the discretion of the commission. So that's what the disagreement is about.
And they did leave it to the discretion of the commission. The commission said, no, go ahead and charge for it even though you're not paying it.
Well, originally in May, they issued an order. It gets more interesting. In May, the commission issued an order, and it basically said to lower your rates because the corporate income tax, to reflect the lower corporate income tax. However, the chairman of the commission, Edward Finley, issued a dissent with that order. And so generally when you have the commission essentially functions as a court, like an appeals court. And when you will have a dissent in a judicial order, that's essentially an invitation for parties to file an appeal. And in the commission process, the first level of appeal is back to the commission for a reconsideration. And then the next level will be the North Carolina Court of Appeals, and after that you'd go to the North Carolina Supreme Court. So in the dissent, he wrote an 11-page dissent, and basically he wrote in that dissent, in my view, this rate adjustment departs from decades of well-reasoned and thoughtful court and commission precedent and starts with a result sought to be reached and moves from there in an effort to circumvent the existing law and precedent rather than to follow it. So he basically said that the corporate, whenever you didn't have specific instructions from the legislature, that would be taken as a instruction that you are forbidden from taking action there. And he actually even had this, later on in his ruling, he had a statement. It sounds like Patrick Henry is saying, give me liberty or give me death. He said, to this I cannot and do not agree. So he uses even this highfalutin language in there. So what happened was, After he issued that, several utilities then asked for reconsideration. During that time, the ruling was issued in May. It was a 6-1 ruling. And in June, several utilities asked for reconsideration. But something happened on the commission. Three new Republican commissioners were appointed at that time. They were all sworn in. They were sworn in roughly in June, in the summertime, right as this was happening, but after the order was issued. And so they reissued the order. The Utilities Commission last week reissued the order. And instead of a 6-1 vote against, in favor of adjusting the tax rate for the corporate income tax, the utility rate for the corporate income tax, they issued the order 4-3 in favor of not making the utilities pass on the corporate income tax reduction to their customers. What's interesting about the three new commissioners, they were appointed by Governor McCrory. None of them are actually lawyers. There have been non-lawyers on the commission before, but now you have all three of them are non-lawyers. In this case, one is a PR executive. He ran a PR firm. One is an insurance executive. He ran an insurance office. And one is an engineer.
But you had one Democrat who voted with him, and he is a lawyer. Tell us about his rationale.
Commissioner Finley, basically his entire career has been spent as a utility lawyer, first in private practice for many years, and he represented water and sewer utilities. And he was appointed to the commissioner by Governor Mike Easley, a Democrat, in 2007. And then he was reappointed when his term expired by Governor Perdue. So he's an expert on utility regulation. That's his whole career. And so that's who he is.
All right.
He's very well respected. He's a very well respected, highly regarded utility lawyer.
And there was another dissent issued now in this reconsideration, and it was equally virulent, if not more so.
Yes, and it was from the three Democrats who lost, and they basically said that essentially it's grossly unfair to make people pay, even though it's only pennies a month for them. It comes out to over $20 million a year for the utilities combined. So it's not immaterial. Now, one of the rules that the Utilities Commission follows is that if you do not have guidance from the legislature, you would typically take no action if the consequence is immaterial. So Commissioner Finley said the consequence here is immaterial. It's only pennies, maybe at most a quarter a month. But the three Democrats said, well, it may be a quarter a month or a nickel a month, but it comes out to $21 million a year for the utilities, and that $21 million a year is not immaterial. So it depends on what you mean by immaterial. And there's a disagreement there as well.
All right,
they have also issued they wrote their own dissent. It's a very long dissent, pretty much as long as the order. And so that's an invitation for another appeal, and the Attorney General's office already said they're going to appeal. The public staff, which is an independent agency, essentially a government-funded law office that represents the public, they're probably going to appeal as well. So this is probably going to end up at the North Carolina Supreme Court.
We've been talking with Raleigh NNO reporter John Murawski on the state of things. Thanks for being with us, John.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, another decision came this week from a federal appeals court in a case of water contamination at Camp Lejeune. The court said a North Carolina law passed earlier this year cannot allow those who were exposed to the contamination decades ago to file for personal damages today. Here to give us the latest on that story is Adelina Colbert. She's been following the water contamination case for the Jacksonville Daily News. Adelina, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks for having me.
Remind us again how and when the water contamination happened at Camp Lejeune.
So it's believed that the contamination happened or started in the 50s, but was not made known to Camp Lejeune officials, probably in the 80s. Reports indicate that Marine Corps officials had known about the contamination, but failed to notify base residents and active duty Marines aboard the installation. Reports show that base drinking water, was contaminated with a number of toxic chemicals, including TCE, PPE, and benzene. And some of the chemicals have been classified as carcinogens.
And so what happened was they had this contamination in the 50s. It's discovered decades later.
Yeah.
And then the question of how long you can wait before you can file, before it comes to the public attention, to file damages. It's called the statute of repose. The North Carolina legislature passed legislation to what it thought was doing was reconciling the time period that North Carolina had with the federal statute. The two disagreed. And that is at the heart of the ruling today. What's the effect of that ruling?
Well, basically, victims of the water contamination now are unable to seek damages, personal damages, from the government, so they cannot file lawsuits. The VA has recently enacted a program that I believe starts on October 24th, where they will have a program to reimburse family members affected by the water contamination, where they pay out-of-pocket medical costs if a family member is suffering from one of the 15 type of illnesses listed by the VA, which includes lung cancer, breast cancer, kidney cancer, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, stuff like that.
So the VA has agreed to pay if you have these illnesses and were at the camp and were a Marine family at the time.
Yes. If you can prove that you were a family member or a spouse and you were living there for a period of time, and only if you have one of the 15 illnesses, and it's only out-of-pocket medical costs, so you would still have to have your own insurance company pay 80%, for example, and the 20% out-of-pocket that you pay, the VA could pay that for you.
If you didn't have insurance, would you be covered at all?
I believe so, based on my conversation with the VA.
All right, Adelina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Adelina Colbert is a military reporter for the Jacksonville Daily News. She's been covering the Camp Lejeune water contamination case. Just ahead, another edition of Home Movie Day on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.